good morning, and let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Actually, if we begin at chapter 3, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. It's a great privilege to have it. I mean, just to think of the Germans here and Luther just being chased into a castle and translating the New Testament for it to exist in the German language. We think of Tyndale and Wycliffe translating from the Latin to English, and Tyndale from the Greek and Hebrew to the English. My goodness, Lord, their lives given for us to be able to have the word, your word, Lord, in our language, for us to treasure it, for us to know it and heed it and share it with one another. And I pray, Father, that this morning you would speak to us. We want to grow in our knowledge of you. We don't want to religiously and blindly do certain things and not do other things. We want to know you deeply and love you. And out of response to that, Lord, out of a response of everything you are and everything you've done, that our lives would belong entirely to you. We just think of the song we sang this morning, Matt Redman, and him just confessing in a song that he had made it about so many things when it's all about you, Jesus. And we pray that you would bring us to that place where it's all so simple and yet so deep. Just a simple, real relationship with you. Lord, have your way with us this morning. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 begins with, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and loved, you are dearly loved." And obviously, he's talking to these people that have been transformed. They've been changed. They've been filled with the Spirit of God. They know that they are different. They're not perfect, but they know that they are different, that they're growing. And he says to them to put off the old man, and then put on something new. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. And then later on, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And obviously, he's speaking in general, just you are a transformed person. You belong to Jesus. And there's this new constitution. There's this new way of living, this new geyser inside of the believers. And he's trying to guide this geyser, this water, and saying, you know, you guys are different. Be compassionate. Be kind. Be humble. Be merciful. Be thankful. And above all, put on love. Now, it's easy to read these things in the abstract. Everybody believes in love. But it's a whole different ballgame putting it into practice in our daily life. We looked at the last couple of weeks. I mean, we all can talk about love till we're blue in the face, but hey, guys, husbands, love your wives. Wives, live in harmony with your husband. And here today, we get to children. And I was talking to Chris about it. We had a coffee, and I said, this week I'm teaching on children, obey your husbands. He says, I'll be there an hour early. I'm bringing coffee. I'm bringing cake. And the kids are in the front row, you know, but notice how here, if you read the chapter further, it says wives, husbands, children, fathers, slaves, masters. There's no partiality. The Christian life affects everybody. And if everybody listen to your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, there will be harmony among us. And we looked at last week at how we can be so concerned about wars all over the world, but not so concerned about the wars that are in our very homes, because the world and the wars are really just two people that can't get along. Just like in a house, two people that cannot get along. And here we are face to face in our society with a total collapse and breakdown of what is called civilization and society. Nowhere is it more obvious in our life, in our society, than in the matter of this relationship of parents and children. As a matter of fact, when the Bible speaks about ugly times in society, notice how it says it in Romans 1, 28 through 31, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, they have become filled with all kinds of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They are always doing evil. And you think to yourself, amen, amen, those things are bad. And then the very next thing it says, disobedient to parents. In that list, it's just crazy, isn't it? Look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And here, sandwiched in there, it says disobedient to parents. I don't know if that shocks you, but it shocks me. A 27-year-old is February 11th, 2019, sued his parents because he did not consent to be born. You found that funny? 15-year-old here in Spain sued his mom for confiscating her phone. Took the phone away, called the cops, wrote a report, took it to court. Father of 12-year-old girl taken to court for taking the phone away. This is January 31st, 2016. And in this horrible list that we read forward, we find included this idea of being disobedient, disrespectful, not honoring to parents. And why is this exhortation given? Why this children obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord, as it says in Ephesians. And you know, this is obviously speaking to Christian kids. And it's speaking to young men and women or young boys and girls that have been grabbed by the very grace of God and by the very Spirit of God. And what he's trying to say to them, that it is a great opportunity for children and parents to shine in our communities by just being different than the rest. Jonathan was telling me a little bit about school, and we've had other kids here that go to different schools, and it's and the thing is sort of the same theme comes across. It's amazing how rude kids are to their teachers. Just plain rude, mean. Particularly, I mean, I don't know how it is in the UK and Germany, but Spanish kids can be quite rough. And here to these young minds, these young hearts that are being transformed by the Lord Jesus, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? You have an opportunity to be different. To be different. And the devil is constantly trying to sidetrack. And here he speaks to these young minds and he just exemplifies for them bringing the subject of obedience, the subject, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So he brings this subject of submission, but even further, to obedience. Obey. Children are to obey parents. And the word obey means not only to listen, but realizing that they're under authority. And it says to honor. Honor means to respect, to reverence. Honor is an essential part of the commandment, and it means not to despise, not to be begrudging, but actually to regard it a great privilege, an opportunity. And the Christian is to be in total contrast with godless children. In total contrast with asserting oneself. I want my rights. I want. And then this fight, this drive. In our modern culture, there is tons of aggressiveness in the home. Parents being bullied by children. There's looks, disrespectful looks. Speaking disrespectfully, mocking, making fun of, jeering at everything told them. This self-assertiveness, I want my rights now. And here you have a contrast. These ugly times, and you have this children. Obey your parents in the Lord, because of the Lord. But why? Why should we honor our parents? Of course, us that are older as well. But why should we honor, particularly here when it talks about children, these younger? And there are three amazing reasons to me. Number one is, obey. Notice what it says in Ephesians. Because it is right. Just because it is right. Just it's nature. It is right. Sometimes we don't have to feel it. Sometimes we just have to do what is right. And if it's something's right, no matter how we feel, it will never go wrong if we do what is right. In the long term, we will be rewarded for it. Even nature, in creation. The little ones listen to their parents. I actually have something I can read to you here. Meerkats, members of the mongoose family, feed on a range of unwieldy and often dangerous prey. Meerkat hunters rapidly bite their prey's head and abdomen to disable attacks. But young pups lack experience. In order to teach pups how to handle food without harming themselves, older meerkats or dis- kill or disable the prey before providing it to the youngest pups. In the caves of scorpions, they even remove the sting. As pups grow older, the mothers reduce the frequency with which they kill or disable the prey, introducing them to live prey. Like good teachers, they monitor pups after they provide food. If the pups are reluctant to handle prey, the older meerkats nudge them, the item towards them. Additionally, if the preys wander off, older meerkats retrieve it for the pup until it is eaten. And here you have these animals that are teaching the little ones, and the little ones are actually obeying their parents and learning how to survive afterwards. And this happens with actually seals, with whales, with dolphins, with elephants. Listen to the elephants. Elephants have very long childhoods, and their mothers are known to be the best teachers of all species. Like humans, baby elephants learn by watching, not from instinct. At first, they don't know what to do with their trunks. Can you imagine? You have this big thing and you don't even know what to do with it. It's like, what's this for? You know? And the mom goes, well, this is for this. They swing them, step on them, and get stuck just as the baby would his thumb. And about six to eight months, they learn to use their trunk to eat and drink. The mothers teach their babies to cover themselves with mud, to ward off sunburn, to grasp pieces of fruit with their trunks, and to use vegetation to scratch themselves. Elephant mothers even teach their daughters how to behave during their periods, showing them how to walk and even where to urinate. And you can go through animal after animal, but it's natural. The younger learn from the older. Now, we could put the emphasis, and we will, guys. I mean, for the younger here, don't worry. We're going to tackle the parents in 2 weeks' time. And they're the teachers, but in order to teach, someone has to be willing to learn. And you know what? When you do an internship somewhere, you cannot go into an internship knowing it all. When I went to McDonald's, my first job was a golf course. My second job was McDonald's. I couldn't tell them how to make the Big Macs. I just had to do, I mean, McDonald's has everything super organized, you know? And you got to do it exactly how they said. And you know what? That taught me obedience. Then I moved to Burger King. Then I moved to Taco Bell. Everywhere. And then I joined the U.S. Army. And that was crazy because I went into the Army and I just thought, this is easy. I sort of looked away and a drill sergeant said, hey, why are you looking? Look ahead. Give me 10. I was like, oh, 10. Yeah, sure. You know, and I was all, you know, just kind of like a smart aleck. And then all of a sudden they put us into a cattle truck, it's called. And has no windows. You sit there like cattle. And what we were in was just prep. It wasn't really boot camp. And then all of a sudden, those doors open. And these guys are yelling like crazy. I was like, what is your problem? Go left, go right, go in circles, leave your back here, do this, do that. And the whole thing was confusing. I went in there with my friend. I didn't see him for a month. Everything was just moving, confusing. But what the U.S. Army was trying to teach, that in order to have unity, in order to have harmony, in order to have purpose together, you cannot be doing your own thing. You have to learn how to obey. And it was a hard lesson to learn. But you know what? Once you learn and you realize, man, and somebody said it to me recently, we're not only able to lead, we're also able to follow. And young minds, we need to teach young minds, yes, to be independent. We want to provide for them to be independent, but we want them to learn not only to lead, not only to be independent, but also to follow, to learn from others that know. Somebody said to me recently, the best way of having a success is to actually get around people that know what they're doing better than you do and listening to them. It's just an aspect of life. And it is right. Oh my goodness, and I'm not saying this from a condescendent. I think I was the worst son. I mean, I was pretty good in some ways, but in other ways, my mom left to California once, and I threw a party. They stole everything from our house. I'm amazed she didn't kill me. You know, so I'm not saying these things from a perspective. I'm saying this from a perspective of having come to know the Lord and realizing, my goodness, everybody's swimming in that direction. The gospel changes us to be different, to shine, to show a new life. The second reason is because of the law. Notice in Ephesians, actually, it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So it's not something that is just right, that is natural, but through time, it was given and impressed to man through the commandment. When Moses was given the Ten Commandments, there it said, honor your father and your mother. And humanity would have just had impressed, the Jews had impressed upon themselves the need to love, to respect, to honor, to obey, to listen to their parents. Now, obviously, the law is there to show us a weakness in our heart. And it says, which is the first commandment with promise. And some people ask why it says the first commandment. Perhaps God was most anxious to impress it on the children's minds. Perhaps maybe it was first in rank, first in importance. But maybe it was also because Paul says, God is the father of all fathers. And if we don't know how to honor our fathers on earth, how in the world can we say that we're going to honor our Father in heaven? You know, they gave us life. And another reason, and I think this is the primary reason for all of them, for anything that we do in life. Another reason is because we love Jesus. Notice, fathers, obey your parents in the Lord. This is in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. But notice, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh as unto Christ. And masters, treat your employees, knowing that you have a master in heaven. And everything we do should be because of our relationship to Jesus. And this is why I was sitting there as we were worshiping. I was like, man, it all boils down to a personally deep relationship with the Lord Jesus. Everything we do should be out of gratitude, out of security that He has our lives in His hands. Out of security that we will not go wrong by following the guidelines with which He says it. He knows best. And Paul says, this is the supreme reason in the Lord. We are to obey and honor and respect our parents because this is part of our worship and obedience to our Lord Jesus. So here we have it. Nature, law, and love to Jesus. And it's not always easy. What happens if your parents are not Christian? What happens if you've suffered under your parents? How do we behave then? You know, and I think when we become Christians, something happens that all of a sudden we are not just receivers, we are givers. And at a response to that, it's not what we're going to get out of it, but how can we be part of the answer? And guys, with my family, it's been tremendous because I started out my Christian walk despising my family. My all I could think about was the things that they had done wrong, and my father leaving, my father, I served in the U.S. Army in Germany, and my best friend and I, we traveled from Erlangen near Nuremberg to Hamburg, where he lived for years, and I was kind of glad to reunite with my dad. And the first thing they did was get drunk. And my friend was vomiting all over the house. And I was like, it was surreal for me because I just kind of thought, this is just weird. I should not bring my friend to see my dad and they are blasted. If anything, maybe my friend and I should get in trouble by my dad because we are blasted. Then my aunt and my uncles saying to me, Raph, you got to talk to your dad. You got to tell him to stop drinking. And me saying to my dad, Dad, you have to choose between alcohol and me. And he said, it's okay, your sister will stay with you. And he was talking about the dog because I don't have a sister. And then when I became a Christian, he rejected me as a Christian. He was embarrassed. He lived in Greece, and people would say, so what does he do? Oh, he's in this special school. You know, he would try to sort of, but despise it. And then when the phone call came that he was ill, I remember saying to Loretta, why should I go? And there's that verse, honor your father and your mother. And without realizing, next thing you know, thank God, sometimes the Lord just leads us into things without us realizing what we're getting into. And I went there, and I put him in hospital, and he hated me for putting him in the hospital. He hated me. He says, you're the worst son I've ever had. I know I talked about this recently, but he said, you are the worst son I've ever had. But listen, guys, I had the privilege to lead my father to Jesus 3 days before he passed away. Imagine if I would have begrudged him. Imagine if I would have been just not detached from his actions. And I think when it speaks about honoring your father and your mother, obviously there is some where you realize, oh my goodness, this is for my good. They love me. They cherish me. They would never do anything that is bad for me. So therefore, we want to obey that. But you know what? At times, we might end up with parents that have not been so kind. And in that moment, we have to honor them, not because they've been good to us, but because Jesus has been good to us. And that's the toughest one. You see, Jesus gave himself for us. And the grace of God comes into our life and gives us the ability to be different. Where families are divided, where children are cursing their parents, where children think they know everything better. The grace of God comes into our life and helps us realize, you know what, that we can be different in this world. And we can be different because we belong to a different king, to a different nation, to a different way of doing things. And we believe with all our heart that because he created life, this way of doing life is ultimately the most successful. not maybe in the way we think of success, but in the way that God sees success. You know, I was telling Jonathan, because it's tough. I mean, it's tough being in school. My goodness, it's tough. And there's all kinds of influences. There's all kinds of pressure. There's all kinds of wanting to be accepted. And obviously, we live in a culture at the moment that's quite brutal when it comes to authority, teachers, when it comes to... And I keep saying to him, because he got into trouble several times doing silly things, which are not that big of a deal in some ways, but I just felt like he was just being carried. He was being led into trouble. And I said, Jonathan, you have such incredible attributes. I mean, a German kid came to the school. He didn't know English, and he fell. And it was Jonathan that he didn't know Spanish. Sorry. And it was Jonathan that took him to the doctors, to the nurse, and sat with them there and kept them company. There's another kid that is a little bit autistic, and it is Jonathan that spends time with him and hangs out with him and just loves on him, even when he loses it. And I say to him, Jonathan, that's where you shine. The guys and the girls, they're talking about sexual relationships, and they're actually passing naked pictures of one another to the kids and then defusing them and then shaming the kids. And I said, but Jonathan, we honor women. We honor human beings. We believe in the dignity of humans. We don't make fun of people. We strengthen people. And I said, Jonathan, please, don't become something that will never reward you. You shine being different. You shine being different. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be a Daniel and say, I've purposed in my heart, I have purposed that I am going to honor people. Because the Bible talks about honoring all people, but especially my parents. And you know what, guys? You know how many friends I have that left their wives or different things have happened, you know, or run after different things. It's okay to be different. It's okay to belong to Jesus. It's okay to put on love above all things, no matter how foolish people think it is. It's okay to be different in Christ Jesus, because we are so loved. We are so blessed. We are so forgiven. We have His hand upon us, transforming us, blessing us. And it's okay to endure in the road of being different. But listen, guys, not just because we're loved, but children obey your parents, and you might think, but my parents are stupid. They don't know that much. They're not as cool as so and such parents. Listen, obey your parents because Jesus obeyed His. Can you imagine being Jesus and having parents over you? You created them. You created everything that they enjoy. Jesus could have said, "Who are you?" And yet, He subjected Himself to His parents and loved them. Even at the wedding, when Mary says, "Hey, Jesus, provide wine." And He's like, "Who made me?" And then He did it. But I think it's self-explanatory. Jesus knew better everything than His parents. And yet He listened. In Luke 2:51, it says, "Then He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." And why is it that we should behave in this manner? Because the Christian child should be the best child in the world. Just as this almost puts a lot of pressure, you know. The Christian child, you should be the best kid in the world, you know. Just like, it puts a lot of pressure. But you know what? Imagine, if you have a father who is the best father in the world, a child that is shooting for being the best child in the world, a wife that is shooting to be the best wife, the best mother, then servants that are seeking to be the best employee and bosses that are seeking to be the best boss in the world. Isn't that the world that we're longing for? Filled with the Spirit, changed by Him. And I had one more page. Oh, here it is. And I want to close with this. What do we do when we fail in this? Because we are bound. I mean, we have, it says, honor your father and mother in the law. And obviously, the law was given to us as a mirror. It says, do not commit adultery. It says, do not covet. It says, do not murder. Honor your father and mother. Why? Because our hearts are contrary to that. And so it's not if you fail, but when you fail, how are you going to react? How are you going to deal with it when you failed in this area? And the way we deal with it is, none of us have arrived. We are being changed. Jesus, on the cross, died for our sins. And that means He died for all of our shortcomings, for all of our rebellion. So therefore, in our hearts, we have to be mature and realize, you know what? Jesus paid for all of my sin. He has redeemed me. I belong to Him. I am being changed from the inside out. And I am maturing. And therefore, I'm going to have good days. I'm going to have bad days. I'm going to have good moments. I'm going to have bad moments. But ultimately, I'm moving in this direction. I want to grow into a person that is different and that honors and loves people. So the Bible puts it very clear. And this is usually the problem. If we say that we have no sin, we lie. If we don't acknowledge it, we're just like, the problem is us. We're prideful. But if you confess our sins, and if you say, oh Lord, my goodness, I kind of lost it today. I shouldn't have done that. I messed up. Dad, Mom, I'm sorry. It says that He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. So He cleanses us, and then we get back up. And you know, I feel, oh, my goodness, this Christmas was pretty good, but the last Christmas we were in the United States, we were with my mom, and I don't know what she said. It must have been her fault. But we got into it. And you know, no one can make me as upset as my mother. I don't know why. But we got into it. And next thing you know, I was just like, that's it. It's okay. I didn't have a car rented. We turned it in. So I was on foot. I packed my bags. I'm ready to go. And I'm like, Lord, please change this circumstance somehow, because I'm very proud right now and I don't want to yield. But it was a problem. And so this happens. But then afterwards, what we have to do is be able to pick ourselves back up and honor our father and mother, because it's the right thing to do. Because it was given in the law to show us our heart. And because Jesus came to rescue us and change us. So we keep growing in that area. Now, and I want to finish with this one thought. Because you guys might be thinking, well, wait a minute. Is the child supposed to just obey their parents blindly and just forever? And I told Jonathan this the other day, some months ago. We were talking about decision making and things. And I said, right now, Jonathan, I'm making decisions for you. I'm making decisions that I believe that are good for you. And I need you to listen to me. I need you to trust that I love you, that I don't want to keep anything good from you. I know you don't have a phone yet. But maybe one day, you know. But I want you to know that I don't let you play certain games. I don't let you watch certain things, because what it does to you, and he suffers from nightmares. So he wants, but then it affects him wrongly. And I said, Jonathan, I just ask you to please trust me to make decisions for you. Then where I want to go with this is to make decisions with you. Then where I want to do is maybe be able to influence the decisions that you are making. Then you can make decisions with me, and eventually you might have to make decisions for me. But the goal is not to control forever. The goal is, like even the animal kingdom does, is to equip, to launch into life. But that is going to take appreciation of our parents, a denial of what we necessarily want in life, and at times, what you mean, those things that the impulses, the things that we want in that moment that are so urgent and so important. So Paul says to these young minds that have become Christians, he says, obey your parents, yield to them, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. I was going to say one thing and I just completely forgot, but I think it's a need to be grateful. You know, a need to be grateful for, if you have good parents that are involved in your life, be aware of that, be grateful for that, and grow. So next week I'm not here, but the following week we will tackle fathers. And I want you to come an hour early and bring coffee for everybody. But we'll be tackling parents, parenting, general principles. And I'll tell you what, as I was going through this again, because I actually taught this before, but as I was going through it this week again, I was just like, oh my goodness. And this is in no way to condemn anybody. It's all to help us grow in the right direction, in a way that pleases and honors the Lord. Father, we are so grateful, Lord, to you. We want to grow in our relationship with you, and we want to grow in turn in our relationships to one another. I pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, because of nature, because of the law, because of our amazing relationship with you, Jesus, that you would make us into people that live in harmony, Lord. My goodness, if we bite and devour one another, what do we got? And your Spirit is in our life to build. Like Paul even said, you gave him wisdom as a wise master builder. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to build our families, to move in harmony, to move in love, to move in grace. And I just pray that you would have your way with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.